The more bitter the arguments over the federal budget become on Capitol Hill, the more members might resort to anything, especially if the Trump administration refuses to spend money it didn't want appropriated in the first place. There's a law for that. Joining me with more, Rob Levinson, senior defense analyst for Bloomberg Government. And Rob, I guess the main thing right now is that the budget outlook is so uncertain, especially for 2018, for defense spending. I wonder how contractors can do any planning at all.
Yeah, well, it's tough. I mean, right now, of course, contractors have to plan for a potential government shutdown that we could see at the end of next week, because the continuing resolution runs out on Friday, and if they don't pass a new budget. And then, yeah, Trump has asked for more money for 2017. He wants big cuts in 2018. So it's a really quite an uncertain environment for the government contracting community.
Now, you have written, on the one hand, there could be the plus-ups for defense, but if Democrats go along with that, say, there's the potential that they will plus up the civilian side way above what the president has asked for. And so then the question becomes, does the administration spend that money? And apparently they don't have all that much discretion, as maybe administrations think they do.
That's correct. I mean, if through whatever negotiation between the White House and Congress and the final appropriations, once money is actually appropriated for particular programs, it's very difficult for a president then to say, well, I don't like those programs and I'm not going to spend money on them, even though the money has been appropriated for that purpose. This was done, somewhat often through American history, but it really came to a head in the Nixon administration when Nixon didn't want to spend money on a whole bunch of stuff, and Congress got really upset with that. So they passed something called the Impoundment Control Act, which basically says that if the president wants to do this, if he wants to stop spending or cut spending, it's called a rescission. He can make a request of Congress, and if they vote affirmatively to approve his cut within 45 days, then he cannot spend the money. But otherwise, in that case, he's got to spend the money. So, you know, if Trump can't put these cuts through the budget process and can't get Congress to agree to them, then he's going to be forced to spend this money, whether he likes it or not.
Well, I mean, just to play devil's advocate here on the scenario, suppose he does ask Congress for a rescission. He does have a majority right now. Couldn't the majority that had to go along with passing a higher budget in the first place then vote for rescission later on?
Yeah, sure. They could do that. And I'm not sure how the filibuster rules in the Senate would apply on something like that. I suspect they would. In which case, you know, the Democrats, even though they don't have a majority in the Senate, could probably block some of that. But also, we shouldn't just put this on the Democrats. There are a lot of Republicans that don't like some of these cuts as well. You know, it's one thing to be against cuts in the abstract, but when you get down to the specific and it means money not being spent in somebody's district, it doesn't often matter whether the representative is a Republican or a Democrat if it's going to hurt their district.
And it's interesting to note that the original spark for all of this, the train versus city of New York in 1975 that you mentioned in your piece, involved the EPA, still one of the controversial agencies.
Well, yeah, and absolutely. And one of the agencies that, President Trump, in his proposed budget for 2018, he puts them in line for the biggest cut, about a 31% cut in the overall EPA budget. And as you mentioned, back in 1975, the director of the EPA didn't want to give New York some money for a clean water program. New York said, look, the language of the statute says we get it. They went to court. The Supreme Court found in favor of the city and forced the EPA basically to turn over that money. And so that was another way, Congress can actually write into statute, you must spend this money. And again, it gives the executive very little flexibility to not spend something.
We're speaking with Rob Levinson, senior defense analyst for Bloomberg Government. And so let's get to the defense side of things. What should contractors do now to prepare for what they don't know is ahead?
Well, I think it's inevitable probably that there will be an increase in defense spending. But how much that increase is a question. You know, President Trump wants $54 billion above the spending caps that are contained in the Budget Control Act, which is actually only about 3% above where President Obama projected spending for 2018 on defense. So Defense is probably going to go up. The real question, the real heartburn that the Democrats have particularly, is that President Trump wants to offset the increase in defense with all these cuts on the domestic side, and that the Democrats aren't going to go along. So you may wind up with a bargain like we have in every other year where, you know, the Democrats agree to some increase in defense, but they also get some increase in non-defense spending. It really depends on how hard over President Trump is on wanting these cuts. If he pushes very hard for the cuts, then he's going to have a very difficult time, getting the increase in defense that he wants.
And if that defense budget is only 3% over what was anticipated, then does that mean that they go with the plans they might have had for the minus 3%? And what do they do with the 3% increase? It's not a big percentage, but it's still a few bucks.
Well, sure. It's still a few bucks, but, you know, I'm sure it's, from a defense contractor standpoint, it's easier to plan for one thing, and then if you get more money, you can do more rather than, you know, plan for one thing and actually wind up with less money, and then you have to lay off workers or stop plans or things like that. So, you know, a 3% increase, while it is not insignificant, you know, it's something that they could probably fairly easy deal with. I think if it's, if there were big cuts, that's where, it causes more heartburn for the contractors. You know, it's always easier to be prepared to make more money rather than less.
But that 3% extra, or the $54 billion plus up that is coming, or $52 billion, whatever it ends up being, over the current year and the year before that, that is mostly, I think, toward troops and readiness issues more than acquisition of hardware from contractors, correct?
Yes, that's true. I mean, most of this is to fill, you know, what they call the sort of readiness holes that they've worried about. It's more money for training, flying hours, things like that, rather than new spending on big acquisition programs. Now, for 2018 or for 2019 is probably when we would see, you know, more money for, you know, big increases in acquisition programs like more ships, more airplanes, and stuff like that. This is mostly filling readiness holes. And frankly, you know, for some defense hawks, it's not enough. Senator John McCain wanted a lot more money because he wants to build up some of those acquisition programs. And, you know, in his view, the Trump-requested increase is pretty modest.
Are you hearing any evidence on the Hill that they are looking at the long-term issues of recapitalization? Because you can fly the Air Force jets they have more and more and more, but they're getting older and older. Also, for a lot of the Army equipment has really been neglected in terms of recapitalization for a decade now. So the question is, beyond this year of readiness increase, at some point they've got to get some hardware.
Well, yeah, sure. And all the services are very concerned about the, you know, sort of the shelf life of their systems. The Army in particular, you know, the Army doesn't even really have a new armored combat vehicle even on the drawing board at this point, you know, a new tank or a new, you know, any of the Army major systems. They don't really have a successor on the drawing board right now. And so, yeah, they are getting worried about that. And, you know, there's a lot of bills already coming due. You've got the nuclear modernization, which there's going to be a new study about how much more we want to spend on the nuclear enterprise, you know, including things like the Ohio-class submarine for the Navy. So there's a lot of bills coming due. And, yeah, all the services are concerned about capitalization, and I think particularly the Army.
But it seems like in Congress, the horizons for what they're talking about come closer and closer all the time. They never seem to be talking more than 3 months from now.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, as I've said, in Congress, you know, since the passage of the Budget Control Act back in, I think it was July of 2011, we haven't been having a discussion about what are the real requirements for national security. We've been having a budget discussion and a fiscal discussion, and they come to some number that they can agree to for defense, hand that to DOD and say, make do with whatever this number is. You know, so it's not sort of bottom-up driven by strategy and needs and threats. It's sort of top-down driven by, here's a number, figure out what you can do with that number, because that's the only number that we can agree to.
I guess we can hope that Russia and North Korea don't force the issue.
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, obviously with defense, you know, the real world has a way of forcing itself on concerns. And yeah, if things get bad in, you know, a situation in Europe or in Korea or something like that, then the political dynamics and even some of the budgetary dynamics begin to change.
Rob Levinson, a senior defense analyst at Bloomberg Government, as always, thanks so much.
Yeah, my pleasure, Tom.
Find a link to more information and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.